We're getting close to the end of the year. How do your books look? How do your taxes look? How do your inheritance plan look? How does your plan to pass the farm on to the next generation look? We're going to talk about some of those things this morning, again, with Bridget Finke, our resident attorney, I guess we could call Bridget, with Valley Crossing Law Office in the Baldwin area. And first of all, Merry Christmas. You all set for the holidays?
I'm getting there. Still.
What does that mean?
Still have some cookies to bake, Bob.
Oh, good. Well, you know where I'm at when you get them all cooked. But we do want to talk here, as we're in December, Bridget, about, as we're talking, this tax plan, tax proposal in the Congress is now at a conference committee. Obviously, it hasn't been finished yet. But just an overview as far as looking at it and the potential changes and some of the plans we have for passing the operation, the business, the farm business on to the next generation. Potentially, do you see some things we should be doing now or hold off as we're here to the end of the year? How do you look at what might come out of this bill? It hasn't been signed yet.
Yeah, the biggest thing kind of on the transition side of things is the potential for that estate tax exemption to double and or maybe eventually completely go away. And so for folks who are doing annual gifting, taking advantage of that free amount we get every year, which for this year is $14,000 per person, for folks who are gifting that away for purposes of trying to keep their estate value down, if that's what's leading the charge on your gifting plan, you may want to put the brakes on, you know, depending on where you're at for value and kind of what you see the appreciation of your farm, because there's a big tax advantage to the recipient in getting those assets after someone dies as opposed to having them gifted to them.
Is there anything that you've seen in this tax bill that would change that, take it from 14 to 28, double or anything like that, or just the way the law is written, you may want to wait?
Just in terms of, you know, where your estate amount is and where this new potential limit is, you know, there's plenty of folks, particularly if you're single, you know, widow or widower, and you're only looking at that $5.49 million number and you've got a big operation. It doesn't take long when you got a lot of cattle and you got a lot of acres to be bumping up against that number. And so if that number doubles, I mean, that's going to take a lot of my clients who are maybe really kind of on that boundary. That'll take that worry away. And so then there's really less incentive to gift now. But, you know, all the time, sometimes we can let the line, let the tail wag the dog, right? Where we can't, sometimes we get so fixated on these tax things that we forget about other reasons why maybe we're on a path for transition. You know, slow transition over time of management, of risk. There may still be benefit to that, even if the tax benefit isn't as strong as it once had been. And or, you know, the big issue, the thing that, you know, I get asked about in almost every conference is nursing home. You know, having that pattern of gifting is getting assets out of your estate, out of availability for payment for nursing home expenses. And so that may be a good trade-off. So, you know, in most of these things we talk about, it's really not the, you know, like the scales of justice where it's one side or the other and we're up and down. It's kind of, we've got about 10 pots around and we're balancing like a teeter-totter and seeing what's the most important thing for your particular farm, your particular family.
So in other words, until this bill signed, if I'm a farmer looking at passing on the operation, estate planners are going to be sitting there twiddling their thumbs with nobody coming in to put estate plans together until we are more solid ground or not?
Well, hey, there's a whole lot of people that don't have plans in place at all.
And still haven't started them either.
So I sure wouldn't have what's happening out in D.C. right now. Have you put the brakes on either the idea of starting the process or finishing the process? You know, all estate plans can be tweaked. And so you are always better off to make an imperfect plan that you can adjust and change to down the road than to not make a plan at all, because in most instances, that's a sure way to make sure that the farm is not going to be able to transition to the next generation.
Talk about that as far as putting a plan in place, and as far as the government is concerned, you know, they seem to have their fingers in everything as far as taxes and all kinds of things like that. How much of an effort is it to change these plans. As far as the timetable, we do one now and get it done by the end of the year. And if this tax plan is passed and does take effect after the first of the year, and it requires us to make some changes, is it a hardship to do that?
It's really not. The hardest time for putting together your estate plan is doing it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The little fine tunes are small adjustments. And frankly, if you haven't even gotten started yet, the odds that you're going to be done by the end of the year are pretty slim anyway. And so you can always fine tune before you ink those plans. You know, the thing that once done can't be undone is the idea that we've gifted away some assets. You know, we've gifted away some farm assets. We've gifted away some ownership interest in the farm entity. Once it's done, it's done. But in terms of, hey, what's our eventual plan for where do these assets go when we pass away? You can adjust that up and until, you know, the time that you've passed away and or you lose capacity to be able to change those documents.
Is there a formula, a table? Because as you said, once you gift things away, they're gone. You don't have that control anymore. None of us know how long we're going to live. And if you're on the farm and, you know, some farmers don't live as long as others. So you want to have, is there a formula for a timetable of how this should be done so that all of a sudden it's gone and I'm still got some life left and I don't have anything to say about it anymore?
Sure, I just pull my secret decoder ring out in my office and say, well, you're this old and you have this many assets. Look, it's not a perfect equation. And so that's why a lot of times we're not looking at an all or nothing. You know, somebody coming in at age 65 and saying, I got to give everything away because I don't want anything to go to the nursing home. Well, that's probably not the right answer. It's usually incremental, and then it's usually adjusting over time based on, you know, how is health? Did we get a diagnosis? What are the value of farm assets? You know, it has seemed like as to farm land that it's gone up and up and up and up over the last 10 years. Well, you know, we do remember the 80s, right?
Yeah,
it can go
remember.
Back down
yes,
again.
Yes, it can.
And so usually an all or nothing plan is never the right plan. And so we want to be cautious and incremental in how we do things.
You know, all the conversations we've had over the past few years, and we start talking about estate planning, gifting. It seems like, and I don't know why, and maybe it's not really what's happening, it seems like a good portion of it is focused on the nursing homes. Are we that afraid, I guess, for lack of a better word, that the nursing home will and can get and too much of our estate?
Well, particularly as to farms, we've got a whole lot of value on paper. And those are the numbers that the nursing home is, you know, looking at. And really, you know, I call it the $100,000 a year problem, right? If you're private pay and you ask me, you know, how many farmers are taking six figures of personal living right now, and probably not a whole lot, and particularly if prices being what they are now, probably not a whole lot. And so how could the farm possibly generate $100,000 worth of income to go ahead and pay that expense without liquidating assets? And if you've got non-productive land or, you know, non-productive assets, mm-hmm. fine. Those are great things to liquidate. But you start selling cows, you've got less milk, you've got less cash flow. So I think that's where the consequences just feel so much stronger for farms as opposed to other businesses, is we need so many assets to keep this whole thing rolling, but we're sort of limited in how much income we can generate because we're at the mercy of so many outside factors. And so you're kind of really stuck in the middle. And, you know, sometimes, again, I think the nursing home is too big of a risk. And look, if you are still healthy and of age, explore your options for long-term care. If not the traditional, at least some of these life insurance policies that you could access the death benefit during life. You got that pot of money that you can use toward that $100,000 a year problem. Makes a whole lot of difference of the cash flow of the farm and what's possible to keep things going. So it's just, I think the biggest thing is lots of value on paper, limitation on cash flow, and the worry of that $100,000 problem.
question and well explained, because it is a challenge out there, and it is something that is very much a part of the equation. Bridget, again, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you and yours.
Appreciate it. Same to you, Bob.
All right. Bridget Finke with us, Valley Crossing Law. And the phone number in Baldwin is?
715-688-4045, or check us out on wisconsinfarmlaw.com.
All right. If you want to talk more about some of the things we talked about with Bridget this morning, very important things again this morning with Bridget Finke at Valley Crossing Law in Baldwin.